Chapter 27. Jeremiah's Terrible Forecast. King Zedekiah was but a weakling. He was no man for the difficult position of governing a little kingdom in so trying a time. The nobles that remained in his court were imperious and scheming men, and the king was but a tool in their hands. The Egyptians continued their old policy of making friends with the politicians in Jerusalem. It is very likely that then, as in our own day, there was very much graft in the public affairs. The politicians were probably in the pay of Egypt. The king was therefore constantly urged to rebel against Babylon and to unite with Egypt. Jeremiah, of course, spoke constantly against this policy. But at last, after 9 years of paying heavy tribute to Babylon, Zedekiah refused to pay it any longer and informed his Egyptian friends that he was ready for the rebellion. The Babylonian army advanced immediately to punish the subject nation. The foolish king and his advisers were confident that a powerful Egyptian army would speedily advance to defeat the Chaldeans. But Jeremiah knew otherwise. He seems to have been the only man in Jerusalem who saw the inevitable outcome. To us today, it is very easy to understand the event. We know the weakness of Egypt and the splendid military strength of the Chaldeans. So far as the Jews themselves were concerned, they had nothing to oppose to Nebuchadrezzar but the strength of their city of Jerusalem, which was well calculated to stand a siege. But without allies to draw off the besieging army, it was only a question of time when hunger and pestilence would compel surrender. Then the more stubborn the siege had been, the more terrible would be the punishment. Jeremiah, whose advice had been disregarded, made an attempt at the beginning of the siege to induce Zedekiah to submit to the Babylonians. He believed that it was still possible to obtain favorable terms from the conqueror. He offered the king the assurance that his life would be preserved, that he would live out his days in peace, and that he would be buried in honor when his time came. Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of Jehovah, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith Jehovah concerning thee, Thou shalt not die by the sword, thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings that were before thee, so they shall make a burning for thee, and they shall lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have spoken the word, saith Jehovah. The king, however, was still trusting in the Egyptians. He refused to follow Jeremiah's advice. The Chaldean lines were drawn more closely about the city. The siege became more serious. As time went on, the king lost courage and sent messengers to the prophet whom he had despised with a request to obtain the divine direction. Inquire, I pray thee, of Jehovah for us, for Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. Peradventure Jehovah will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Jeremiah's answer was a terrible forecast. He declared that as a result of the national folly, Jehovah was on the side of the Chaldeans instead of on the side of the Jews, and that no way of escape remained but unconditional surrender. Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans that besiege you without the walls. And I will gather them into the midst of this city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in wrath and in great indignation. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and passeth over to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face upon this city for evil and not for good. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. The leaders in Jerusalem, finding themselves in the unhappy plight, determined that they must do something to get the help of the Lord. It is always a pitiful thing when a man of evil life tries to do something religious in order to escape from a calamity. It suddenly occurred to the Jewish leaders that they had violated one of the great laws that were the common protection of the Hebrew people. It was the universal custom in the ancient world that if a man could not pay his debts, he could be sold into slavery to meet the obligation. The Hebrew law, however, was more humane and provided that a Hebrew could be enslaved for only 6 years. At the end of that time, his debt was canceled and he was free. But this law had fallen into disuse. The wealthy thought it a pity to let the slaves go when 6 years of service had made them so useful to their masters. So the unhappy Hebrews who had been brought into this servitude were kept in perpetual bondage. In order to do something to please Jehovah, the Jews now decided to liberate the slaves who were wrongly held. Shortly after this occurrence, to the great joy of king and people, news arrived that a powerful Egyptian army was advancing. The news reached the Chaldeans also, and they were obliged to raise the siege and to move southward to meet the Egyptian host. Jerusalem was free. Everyone who had believed in the Egyptians felt his confidence vindicated. They already saw the Babylonian army cut to pieces. Then they began to think that they were too hasty in liberating those slaves. And immediately every man and woman that had been freed was taken back into bondage. Jeremiah's soul burned within him. He was hot with indignation at the hypocrisy and treachery. Regardless of consequences, he preached a strong sermon on the subject and declared that the Babylonian army would speedily return and that the city would be burnt with fire. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, At the end of 7 years ye shall let go every man his brother that is a Hebrew, that hath been sold unto thee, and hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear, and ye were now turned, and had done that which is right in mine eyes, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and profaned my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom ye had let go free at their pleasure, to return. And ye brought them into subjection, to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, Ye have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty, every man to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim unto you a liberty, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army that are gone away from you. Behold, I will command it, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation, without inhabitant. Jeremiah had desired for some time to pay a visit to his native town, Anathoth, where he had some business interests that required attention. The siege had, of course, prevented this. He took advantage of the departure of the Babylonian army to make the visit. His enemies caused him to be arrested as soon as he had left the city on the charge that he was secretly deserting to the Chaldeans. He was put into strong and severe confinement. The king was by no means easy in his own mind and was not at all pleased that Jeremiah was imprisoned. He sent secretly and caused the prophet to be brought before him and asked him if there was any word from Jehovah. Jeremiah answered without hesitation, "There is. Thou shalt be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon." He then made an appeal to the king for his life. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, "Wherein have I sinned against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets that prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? And now hear, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be presented before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there." The king consented that Jeremiah should be put into more easy confinement. The nobles, however, were not content with this. They took the ground that seemed very justifiable, that Jeremiah was a source of weakness in Jerusalem. They denounced him as a traitor. They urged that he be put to death as an enemy of the national cause. "Let this man, we pray thee, be put to death. For as much as he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." The king, unable to contend with them, gave Jeremiah into their hands. They flung him into one of those underground dungeons where one sank to his knees in the mire. In this horrible plight, the unhappy man would soon have perished from hunger, thirst, and exhaustion. Jeremiah was not without his friends, however. His noble earnestness convinced some men of his real patriotism. His godly life impressed the more earnest souls. He found a friend in one of the king's Negro chamberlains, who begged that his life might be spared. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die in the place where he is, because of the famine, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence rags and worn-out garments and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, "Put now these rags and worn-out garments under thine armholes, under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. Soon after this, Zedekiah sent for the prophet again. He solemnly requested him to tell him the exact truth, promising that his life should be spared. The prophet could only reiterate more solemnly what he had said before. He still believed there was a hope of saving the city by surrender. He solemnly urged the king to take the step. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, "Thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thy house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. But if thou refuse to go forth, This is the word that Jehovah hath showed me. And they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Zedekiah was afraid of his own courtiers. He dared not follow the advice of the prophet. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house, to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah, and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was taken.